Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I am State Representative Morgan Cephas, and I want to welcome you today to the Winfield community. In this community, it is truly what we call a middle neighborhood community, Councilwoman Parker. And that's a community that's on the cusp of growth and decline. And the only way that we are going to continue stabilizing these type of neighborhoods across Philadelphia and across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is by making historic but strategic investments like we're doing today. So I first and foremost want to introduce some of my colleagues that were able to join us. I see we have Representative Stephen Kinsey, Representative Amon Brown, Representative DeLoso, Representative Gina Curry, Representative Joe Hohenstein, Representative Dan Williams, Representative Parker. Hopefully I didn't miss any of my colleagues. Representative Krajewski, Regina Young, yes, sorry. Right. I also know that we have a quorum of city council here with us today. We have Council President Darrell Clark, Council Member Majority Leader Terrell Parker, Minority Leader Curtis Jones Jr., whose district we are in, Mr. 4th Councilmatic District.
Yeah.
I see we have Council Member Derek Green, Council Member Jamie Gauthier, and Council Member Gilmore Richardson. Hopefully I covered all of my colleagues. Again, I want to applaud you all for coming to the community of Winfield, because again, this is a community that is a microcosm of so many communities across Philadelphia and across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Again, when we make these type of historic investments, we are not only stabilizing, but we are continuing the growth of these communities. So I want to thank Governor Tom Wolf for having the forethought and being extremely intentional about making these investments. And I also want to thank my colleagues from both the House and the Senate for, again, not just making these investments, but being strategic about addressing the issue of housing security. Housing security that doesn't just represent expanding affordable housing for seniors or low-income residents, but housing security that addresses those small mom-and-pop landlords that we know that just need small resources to expand their footprint and to stabilize their housing stock. Or those communities that are dealing with, again, affordability, that are dealing with middle-income residents that are living paycheck to paycheck, that just, again, need those small resources in order to create homes that are efficient, that are able to keep them in their homes. So again, they're not being pushed out by gentrification or by those interested in purchasing their home. So I thank you for making this type of investment. And what is so apropos is that we are standing in front of a building that truly represents those type of investments. This is a building that was built some years ago. I want to say, the governor, this is about your third or fourth time here, so you're officially a Winfield resident. That's right. It's these type of investments that we were able to provide 50 units of affordable housing for seniors. And it's not just this one. This is one of three just in the 10 block radius, where we're, again, not just bringing on close to 150 affordable units, not just for seniors, but for their families, for their communities. So we know seniors, as they're downsizing economically, as they're able to transfer their assets to their families to create generational wealth, as we are bringing more vacant lots online that generates revenue for the city, these type of projects are transformational, and these type of investments will continue that type of transformation in these communities. So again, I want to thank you for making these investments. And again, when we are strategic coming out of COVID, not only are we stabilizing neighborhoods, but we are growing communities. And this is just a minor example of what we can do. Again, those home repairs, when we talk about middle neighborhoods like Winfield, will be able to keep individuals in their homes because of those minor repairs that will help them, again, create efficiency, create stabilization in their homes. So again, this is not just, even though this is an initial investment and this is something that we've been doing decades and decades, this is just the beginning for something that, again, can be strategic and that we can grow upon. So I thank you again for this investment, and now I'm going to turn it over to Senator Vinton Hughes.
Yeah. Hey, Steve. Go ahead.
Big thanks, big shout out to Representative Morgan Cephas.
Yeah.
Big
Shout out to Representative Morgan Cephas. So, we need to be clear. Reverend Moore, I'm taking a pause for a reason. Because blessings only happen. Moments like this are only part of a blessing. And so all of us need to do that. 18 months ago, the state of Pennsylvania was spending $55 million on housing. Now the state of Pennsylvania is spending $430 million on housing. They say you got to say something three times so it sinks in. 18 months ago, Sherelle Parker, the state of Pennsylvania was spending $55 million on housing. Now the state is spending $430 million on housing. Let that sink in. $55 million has grown to $435 million. And if we're smart, if we're strategic, if we're intentional, we will say, Councilman Clark, we will say to our friends in philanthropy, our friends in the corporate sector, we're doing our part. Mm. Step up and now do your part as well. I know you got that right in Pittsburgh, Senator Costa. You know how you got it right in Pittsburgh. We need to replicate that. You have all of these folks gathered here together because for a reason. The saying, teamwork makes the dream work, is real. All of these folks gathered here stepped up and did their part. Teamwork does make the dream work. That's why so many people are here. President Biden is a member of this team. That's American Rescue Plan money we're spending here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Vice President Harris is a member of this team. Senator Bob Casey is a member of this team. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to leave him out. I don't know, news if you are here, but Congressman Dwight Evans is a member of this team. And all of them kept saying to me, Joanna, they kept saying to me, don't forget housing, Hughes. Don't forget housing, Hughes. Same thing, same thing. Don't forget housing, Jordan. Same thing. You remember those calls. Don't forget housing. Don't forget housing. The building trades are here. Where are they? I know they're here somewhere, all right? Ryan and Mungu and all the rest of them. Don't forget housing. Don't forget housing. The housing advocates are here. Where are the housing advocates? Teamwork. Make the road. Teamwork makes the dream work. The housing facilitators are here, Robin and PHFA and PHA and PHDC, all the alphabet people, all right? They're here. I know Kelvin couldn't make it, but I know Lynette Brown-Sowell is here. I know that, all right? All of the housing organizations, all of the advocates, all of the alphabet organizations who make these projects happen. The developers are here. Yes, the developers are here. Moody, Damley, all of them are here. Remember, we're here because it was $55 million and we grew it to $430 million in an 18-month period. That is significant. And all of them kept saying, don't forget housing. Don't forget housing. Please don't forget housing. We can't escape the mission of housing. And so, as we got to the smaller room, Leader McClinton, one day I'm hoping to be able to call you Speaker McClinton.
Yeah! Right.
As we got to the small room, we said, Governor, don't forget housing. And you know how the governor is. Don't worry, Vince, I got it. Don't worry, Vince, I got it. We got housing. We got to do everything else. I said, Leader, right? Don't forget housing. Don't forget housing. And you know what? He didn't forget. He didn't forget. It didn't get left on the table. It didn't get forgotten. it didn't get to wind up in the midst of things that just sometimes don't get done when you're negotiating a budget. It got done. Remember those numbers, Donna. $55 million to $430 million. We were sent to do public service as public officials and advocates and everyone here to make this kind of transformational difference. That's why we were sent here. That's why the celebration looks like this, because we were sent to make transformational change. Transformational change. And the leader helping us to make transformational change is our governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, who listened and didn't just listen, he stayed at the table. When it was July 1 and the deal wasn't done, we stayed at the table. July 2nd, we stayed at the table. 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, it got done, it was soup, and he said, let's go. Please, please, without any further ado, Tom Wolf, the governor of Pennsylvania.
It's true. Thanks. Okay, so pop quiz. A year and a half ago, how much were we spending on housing? And now, $430 million. That's right. So we really have made a big deal. I mean, just look at this block. It was, what, 8 years ago, Councilman Jones and I just walked up and down a couple times. And, you know, all we saw there was the promise. Now you can see what's really happening. Yes. And this is what happens if you step up and actually do things to make things happen. And it's a wonderful thing. So this is really important, and I'm proud of the fact that all of us stayed at the table, all of us. And it's not just one of us, but I think the senator was right to point out all the members of the team made this possible. But I want to give a special shout out to the Democratic members of the House of Representatives, that caucus, and the Democratic members of the Senate caucus, because we all did work together on that budget. And the reason we did what we did with housing and all the other good things that came out of that budget was because we did stay at the table. And we had everybody on the same page. And at the end of the day, we were all on the same page, and that made all the difference in the world. This is a big deal for everybody, housing. And it's something that the state really needs to continue to do. Right now especially, people are living paycheck to paycheck. The financial upheaval of the past several years has been especially devastating for people all across the country and all across Pennsylvania. And we know that Pennsylvanians have been hit really hard by that. And in part, right now, as a result of the pandemic, many Pennsylvanians are struggling to make ends meet. And safe, affordable housing is essential for life of any kind. And people all across Pennsylvania are struggling. As they struggle to make ends meet, they're struggling especially to make that end meet. When families can't afford to stay in their homes, our entire Commonwealth is worse off. And that's why I and all of my Democratic colleagues in the Senate and the House worked so hard in this budget to fund the programs that support safe, affordable housing. Because of the hard work of Senator Hughes, Senator Saval, both of whom are here. Where's Senator Saval? Come on, why do you keep on getting funny? And really, all of us, we were able to make a transformative, as Senator Hughes has reminded us, what was that again? 55, 30. A transformative investment in housing in Pennsylvania in the 2022-2023 budget. The investments we're going to be making as a result of this budget will help Pennsylvanians get back on their feet and put our Commonwealth back on a path to prosperity. We need that. The best part of this plan is the funding is coming, as the senator said, from the American Rescue Plan money. This is federal dollars. So this is a first step, and we need to keep coming back to this year after year after year. So this was a year where we primed the pump. We have this money for one purpose. And in the future, it's going to be for one purpose, and that is to help Pennsylvanians. Our investment included $125 million for the Whole Home Repair Program, which was really pushed by Senator Saval. Yeah. $150 million to help offset higher development costs due to the pandemic, and $100 million for affordable housing construction. Together, these investments, now this is a different number than you got from the Senator. These numbers are $375 million on top of the $55 million that was there before. And it's going to support safe, affordable housing by creating new units, by allowing us to repair existing units, by funding home repairs, and so much more. This budget also includes $140 million, and this is over and above what the Senator was talking about. We took $140 million out of the ARP program and added it to the property tax and rent rebate program.
Beautiful. All right.
Beautiful. Now, I proposed this back in February, so I want to take some credit for this. But we got $140 million, and that means a 70% increase, a bonus, for everybody already on the property tax and rent rebate program. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is just sit back and wait for your check to come. And this year, it's going to be 70% bigger than it was last year.
Yeah!
The point of all this is the time to invest in Pennsylvanians is right now. And right now, the Commonwealth actually can do that. And that's why I'm so proud of this essential funding increase at a time when we have the capacity, finally, in Pennsylvania, to invest in things that are important. We have determined that this is among those really important things. That's a big deal. So thank you to everyone here for sharing my commitment to housing. Thank you for this really good start. Let's keep this bus rolling. Let's keep this thing going. Now I want to turn it over to one of the people who, one of the leaders who made this possible, and that is House Leader, and I agree with you, hopefully next year, Speaker, Joanna McClinton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What a wonderful day in the 192nd Legislative District. This is awesome to have our governor here with us, our members of the Senate Democratic Caucus, the House Democratic Caucus, Philadelphia City Council, advocates, stakeholders, all of our friends being here for this important announcement. All of us know, particularly those of us who grew up in single-parent households, one of the biggest concerns mothers have is, can I keep this household? I said the biggest concern mothers have, and perhaps some single dads, but that wasn't my life. I'm telling you about my life in Southwest Philadelphia, was can I keep this roof over our heads? Or are we going to have to go to Granny's house? Or are we going to have to go to this one's house? And the fact that we are able to tell parents, to tell grandmothers, to tell grandfathers, not only can you keep the roof, but when the roof goes, there's some assistance to keep a roof on the house. It is wonderful. It is absolutely exciting. And the truth of the matter is, we had to wait, we had to pray, and we had to keep our list of priorities together. And the truth of the matter is, without all the members in the Pennsylvania House Democratic Caucus advocating, having meetings, Zoom calls, meetings in their districts, meetings in the state capitol, this would not have come to pass or fruition. But I'm truly grateful for all the leaders that are present and all the ones who couldn't even be here today. And with that, nothing gets done in the House alone. We've got a greater chamber where a lot of our members graduate, go on the other side of the building. So I would love for you to bring a warm West Philly welcome to the leader, Senator Jay Acosta.
Somebody get him an eagle pass.
Say, listen. Listen. Yeah. Thank you very much, Leader McClinton. You've been a wonderful leader, a longtime friend, and I really appreciate your kind remarks, and I'm really thrilled to be here today. I came out from Pittsburgh because I also bring greetings from the city of Pittsburgh. Our new mayor, Merritt Ganey, who many of you serve with, and his chief of staff, Jake Wheatley, who are very excited about what's going to take place across Pennsylvania, more specifically in the city of Pittsburgh, as it relates to the three programs that the governor talked about and how much they are needed, how important they are to the residents of Pittsburgh. And as Leader McClinton talked about, folks can now have some understanding and belief that they're going to be able to stay in their homes, whether they be grandparents, whether they be single moms or single dads, or just young people, folks, who want to be able to stay in a home or stay in the apartment they're living in, working with the landlord. The consistency, the knowing that they'll be there is so important. But certainly you're stabilizing that home. We're stabilizing the family at the same time by recognizing that, staying in the schools that they're in and so forth, not having to move, but stabilizing the community as well, and that's what these resources do. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the folks in our caucus who really led this effort. And I'm joined today by a number of my colleagues, Senator Jimmy Dillon, who's here, Senator Tim Carney, Senator Nikhil Saval, you're gonna hear a little bit about, and probably the one who's been the shyest and the most, Senator Vincent Hughes, who never speaks his mind. You never know where he stands. But the fact of the matter is this, collectively, our members work, led by Senator Saval, and the community meetings that were taking place and the Zoom calls that Joanna talked about, they were taking place with our members and our community organizers and taking place with so many other folks across this Commonwealth. I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize Representative from Pittsburgh, Sarah Namorado, the role that she played in this space as well, working collectively. Worked very hard and had a number of events in Pittsburgh. It was a team effort. It was a collective effort by so many organizations and groups and individuals that got us here today. But you know, every team has a quarterback, right? Pittsburgh, we had a great quarterback. I can't say too much about Philadelphia lately, but in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, we had a great quarterback. Did I say
so? We're agreeing, Nick. We're agreeing.
Had to spark this up a little bit, all right? Had to get it going a little bit. Did I say six? Okay, I'm sorry. Any event, the bottom line is this. We had a quarterback. And as Senator Hughes talked about, when we got in that room and we talked about what were the priorities of our respective caucuses, and we had unanimity about what we were going to do. It was about housing, and I'm going to tell you, it's also about education. I'd be remiss if I didn't say, Governor, thank you for your continued investments in education. Historic investments in education. And this all goes together. It all goes together to make a better community, make a better Commonwealth, and that's what this budget did in many other ways as well. But that team working together in those rooms, and we always didn't see eye to eye, but at the end of the day, we came out unified, and that's why we had the success. And we got done what needed to be done. This was one of our highest priorities, and I'm very happy to be here today to share this great news with everybody here today. And I'll be bringing back greetings to Pittsburgh to my colleagues in Allegheny County to continue working on these programs. Thank you very much. Now, it's my honor. The number six. I just got to remind everybody. Anyway, I got to tell you what. But you know, one of the state agencies is an important partner, a major partner in housing, and particularly in affordable housing, in the programs that we have in Pennsylvania is PHFA. And that agency, for a lot of years, was led by Brian Hudson, who was wonderful. But I got to tell you, we have a wonderful and tremendous leader right now as the executive director, Robin Weissmans, who's picked up the ball, has carried it, and has been so open and responsible in making sure. And I got to tell you, folks, some of the programs we're developing, we keep throwing at PHFA, and they keep accepting them, and they keep doing a wonderful job in implementing them. So it's my honor to introduce the executive director of the Pennsylvania Housing Finance Agency, Robin Weissman.
All right. Okay.
Good day, everyone. So, what's the song? I'm so excited. Right? That's the song, isn't it? Yeah. But I first do want to thank, I won't be able to name everybody here, but I really, really want to thank the governor for his long-term tenacity in all of the programs that he's been working towards, along with the senators. You'll forgive me if I don't say everyone individually. You want me to be short, right?
Yeah.
So, and the state representatives and city council and the president and all of the people here who are so responsible. And the stakeholders. The stakeholders, like all of you, are the ones who really, really keep the pressure on. Just saying. So, now the work begins. PHFA has the privilege and the opportunity to help create and facilitate the transformation we're all looking for in housing and education and healthcare. It all comes together. And we are working our hardest as partners with all of you to do the very best we can and make sure this dream is actualized. I also want to say I'm so hopeful that the new programs that have been created this year, and by the way, the governor did tell me there'll be money next year, but
all right.
I'm just talking, I'm just talking about the bank account. Oh. I'm not talking about you. Hopefully we'll have continued great leadership. Okay. But hopefully this will be the seeds and it will proliferate and really, really grow. And I'm really looking forward to working on it with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Now we're going to bring up Harry Moody from Penrose.
Right, Harry!
Good afternoon, everybody. First and foremost, just want to, on behalf of Penrose and all the developers here and all throughout the state, we really want to thank all of our elected officials and the governor for this Christmas in affordable housing that we're experiencing here. So thank all of you. I can't name all of you, but that's great. The one thing I did want to focus on here is kind of follow up with the theme here has been teamwork. I was developer of this building here, and without the teamwork that it took for the elected officials here, the community, the contractors, everybody that we work with, you can't do this. This is difficult enough to do, but you just can't do this without the teamwork. When we went through this process, it took years. And our elected officials, Senator Hughes, Councilman Jones, and Representative Cephas, who I think might have had an office in our building, they never told us no. And I think that is the same case as a lot of developers here. Will also be able to tell you that when you go to your elected officials, they just don't tell you no. They just go to work and do what you want. We had a community backing us, we went through probably a 3-year process, and they were the most well-attended community meetings that I've ever been in. And they stuck with us from beginning to end. We didn't agree upon everything, and they understood it, we understood it, but they stuck with us from beginning to end. And that is just an example of the partnerships that you have to breed, and the partnership that you have to keep to continue to do development in these communities and improve the communities. We'll keep going on. We'll keep building those partnerships, working with our partners here, Winfrey Overbrook Revitalization Corp, and keep trying to continue to build affordable housing. And again, we are appreciative of the additional resources, and we'll be at your door knocking to asking for more money to get more projects done in the future. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. And just want to introduce now Senator Saval.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Nikhil Saval. Again, it's my honor and joy to represent the people and communities of Pennsylvania's 1st Senatorial District here in Philadelphia. Representative Cephas, Senator Hughes, thank you for welcoming me and us to your district. I'm grateful to be standing here with my colleagues in the legislature, with Governor Wolf, and with so many of the community organizers and housing and energy advocates whose tireless work this past spring laid the groundwork for us to fight and win this historic $430 million. Yeah, $430 million investment in Pennsylvania communities and Pennsylvania homes. Our housing crisis is a direct result of stagnant wages, exorbitant utility burdens, systemic racism, and a climate crisis for which our current housing stock is woefully unprepared. Our homes, where we base our lives, are the nexus of these intersecting crises. A study from the US GAO, the Government Accountability Office, found that for every $100 increase in the median rent, there was a 9% increase in the rate of houselessness. And a survey this past spring from Data for Progress found that among Pennsylvania voters, 1 in 4 lives in a home that needs a critical repair, and nearly half, when faced with such a repair, would struggle to afford it. These data reflect what I hear, what all of us hear, directly from our constituents. Requests for housing help are among the most frequent calls that our offices receive, second only to requests for help with unemployment. And of course, those two things are connected. The solution to housing insecurity is housing. This means the creation of new affordable housing, and importantly, it means the preservation of our existing homes. Pennsylvania has some of the oldest housing stock in the nation, and right now hundreds of thousands of households across our Commonwealth are denied their right to a home that is safe, a home that is healthy simply because they do not have the access to the resources they need to fix their homes. And this is why I am so proud to have worked with my colleagues, with our governor, with community partners, and with residents across the state to introduce and win the groundbreaking Whole Home Repairs Program. Yeah. The Whole Home Repairs Program establishes a one-stop shop. I've said this so many times. Establishes a one-stop shop for home repairs and weatherization while building out our local workforce and adding new family-sustaining jobs in a growing field. This program is the first of its kind in the nation, making it so that Pennsylvanians can stay warm, safe, and dry in homes they can afford. This program works by doing three things. It provides up to $50,000 to repair, update, and adapt homes throughout Pennsylvania. It allocates support staff to help people access the assistance they need in the order they need it. And finally, it funds training programs and provides stipends to trainees to build up the local workforce to meet the demand. Repairs support jobs. The whole... The Whole Home Repairs Program meets the real needs of our constituents. This is a direct investment in our people, in our homes, and in our communities. This past spring, we saw a groundswell of grassroots advocacy from communities across our Commonwealth to demand that the General Assembly take action on our housing crisis. To all who added your voices to these calls, thank you. I'm proud to say that we heard these demands. We fought for and secured historic funding to expand affordable housing, to keep Pennsylvanians warm, safe, and dry in their homes, and to pass the Whole Home Repairs Program. Since the governor signed the budget into law, my office has received hundreds of inquiries, I think all of our offices have, about this program. This is an affirmation of our work and a clarion call for us to push further. The need for housing is great, and we are ready for this fight. Pennsylvanians flourish when their government invests in them. And now it is my honor to invest a leader and make the road Pennsylvania. Se puede o no se puede. Se puede o no se puede. From Make the Road Pennsylvania, Armando Jimenez.
Thank you, Governor Wolf. Thank you, Senator Saval. My name is Armando Jimenez, and I'm here on behalf of Make the Road Pennsylvania, the largest Latino organizing group in the state and are more than 10,000 members statewide. We organize in Latino, immigrant, and working class communities of color, empowering everyday people to be leaders of change, for change in their own communities. Housing is one of the biggest struggles for hardworking families, because rent keeps going up, but the minimum wage shamefully stays the same. When tens of thousands of families were threatened with eviction and homelessness during the pandemic, we helped lead the charge to enact and extend the eviction moratorium and advocate for rent relief funding. Those investments in housing worked and kept thousands of families in their homes and off the streets. As we all know, so many families struggle to pay their rent or mortgage, let alone cover the home repairs and get rid of lead, fix leaky pipes, or repair their roofs. The cost is just too much. Thanks to the tireless advocacy of everyday people, like our members from more than 30 Senate and House districts, and multiple partners across the state, we won a big victory this year. A historic $125 million investment to repair and update the aging home across Pennsylvania, the Whole Home Repairs Program. Si se puede!
Si se puede!
Si se puede! Y si se pudo, and yes, we did. Whole Home Repairs was won by people like Angelo, a Make the Road member leader from Allentown, who is here with us today, who lives with his mother in a house with mold, mildew, caused by a hurricane. Until recently, they could not afford to make the necessary repairs to clean up the toxins and make the house safe. Whole Home Repairs changed that for Angelo and for thousands of families like that across Pennsylvania. Thank you, Senator Saval, for your leadership in this issue. What we learn and what we know from organizing to win whole home repairs is that there's a loud and public demand for more investment in housing in PA. When 1 in 3 Pennsylvanian voters cannot afford their utility bills, 1 in 4 live in a home that needs critical repair. Something has got to change. Finally, with whole home repairs, something has changed. And this is just the beginning. $125 million for home repairs is just the start. We need more funding to fix our aging housing stock, and we're committed to fight for to fund whole home repairs so it meets a level of need statewide and establish rent control, more affordable housing, so every family has a good place to live. The need for investment in housing is there, and the public support for more investment in housing is there, because housing is a human right. We're going to keep up the fight. Thank you so much.
Right. I will... Se pudo, no
se pudo. Si se pudo.
Se pudo, no se pudo.
Si se pudo. Next, please help me welcome Representative Jordan Harris.
Good afternoon. Oh, come on. I grew up in a black church. Let's try that again. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
It is an honor to be here today. And don't worry, we're almost done because I'm hot too. But this is really an exciting day to be in the 192nd Legislative District. Whether you're in city council, whether you're in the state house, whether you're in the state senate, when we run for office, right, you listen to all of the concerns of the folks who you're asking for support from. And you go to either city hall or you go to Harrisburg or you go to DC with the hopes that you can bring something back for your constituents. But for me, it's not just constituents, for my community members, the folks who helped raise me. I represent a district where I grew up in that very community.
Come on.
So when I go to Harrisburg, I go there thinking about my mother who lives in my district, or Miss Dumpy who lives up the street, or Mr. Wilson who lives on the corner. I think about the hopes and the dreams that they have and all of the things that they told me that they needed from Harrisburg. And far too often we go to the Capitol and we bang our heads against the wall trying to fight and advocate for real, tangible results for folks who live in our community. But I tell you, this budget cycle was something different.
Hey!
It was different because we get to come home and we go to get to tell the people in the Northwest with my friend Representative Kinsey, or we go out to Delaware County with Regina and Gina, and we get to go over to Northwest with Representative Parker and tell them that we've actually delivered something tangible that will actually change the lives of folks.
There it is.
You know, a lot of people get dismayed and disillusioned in their government because they see far too often the bickering that happens and not the results for regular people. And I want you to understand this, why this is so important. When Senator Saval and I sat down and had lunch, I don't even remember how long ago it was at this point, but he brought up this whole home repair thing and I was sold. I said, all right, let's do it. And I don't think you believed me when I said, let's do it. But Senator Saval and I represent one of the highest gentrifying neighborhoods in the country, not in Philadelphia, in the country. And here's how gentrification happens in many of our neighborhoods. Mom can't afford the roof. Grandmom can't afford the windows. Dad can't afford the pipes. And because of that, somebody comes along and says, hey, I'll give you $50,000, right? And Derek, what I'm telling you is that they take the money because they can't find $5,000 to fix that roof. So now that house that has been in their home for generations has now changed hands because they couldn't afford something that many of us around here think is a routine, normal fixer. It's routine to get your roof done. But for folks in my community, it's a death sentence to them transferring generational wealth. That's why this is so important. That's why this is important. I want you to really understand this. Because for many of us, we can take it for granted that when the pipes bust, we can get them fixed. But I can tell you of a woman in my district who her water has been cut off because she can't get the pipes fixed. That is what real Pennsylvanians are dealing with every single day. So I'm here because I'm happy when I can think about all of the folks in our community who will be able to transfer wealth from one generation to the next.
There it is.
Who will be able to stay in their home for a little while longer. Mm-hmm. Whose children can go to school and not have to worry about where I'm coming home to. You want our children to learn better? Let them have stable housing.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Will.
So, this is historic. What's the number again, Vincent? 400?
430. Say it three times.
Somebody listening on, some, you know, if you grow in my neighborhood, somebody gonna play that number today. Sorry, Pastor. I know my pastor's watching. Somebody gonna hit. But anyway, that is what investing in people can do, right? You can go out to Coatesville, Rep. Williams, and you can tell them that they don't have to sell their house because they can now get their roof fixed. Hold on just a little while longer because of this budget, help is on the way.
Right?
So with that, I'm glad to introduce a person who chairs an organization in our body who has been fighting for black and brown and poor people for decades. She's the chair of the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus, Chairwoman Representative Donna Bullock.
Thank you, Whip Harris, for that warm introduction. It's hot. But that's a good thing because this budget hot too. As I was introduced, I'm the chair of the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus. I'd like to thank our leaders in the House and the Senate for advocating for an issue that was important to the Black Caucus for many years. I'd like to thank our governor for stepping up here as well. Earlier this year, the Black Caucus and its Budget Equity Committee under the leadership of Representative Napoleon Nelson said, we're gonna make housing a priority. You see, every year, Senator Hughes, I know we usually come to you with a list of priorities.
Yes, you do.
Because for
yes,
black
you
folk,
do.
We got a lot of issues right. that we needed, investment. But we said this year, we're gonna focus on housing. And it was so much synergy, Senator, because everyone else called you and said, housing. Don't forget about housing. And the governor organized a housing committee. And we all got together to talk about how we were going to make housing a priority in this budget. And I'm so happy to know that in that conversation, many members of the Black Caucus was leading. Our leader, Joanna McClinton.
Yeah.
Our whip, Jordan Harris.
Yeah.
Our leader in the, you're west of Philadelphia, Senator Acosta, so we're gonna put you in the Black Caucus too.
Honorary member.
Yes, but our appropriations chair in the Senate, Senator Hughes, and our whip in the Senate, Senator Williams, Senator Saval, Representative Krajewski, we were all making housing a priority. And the reason why is because we understood that a significant investment in housing could really address the years, decades of disinvestment in our communities. It would redress the years and decades of systemic racism and institutionalized policies that had kept black and brown folk out of opportunities, that had prevented us from getting mortgages, that had redlined our communities, that had kept us out of the nicest rental apartments, that had kept us in communities that didn't have the best schools or the best hospitals or the best jobs. That was housing policies that kept our communities out of those neighborhoods, out of those housing opportunities. Mm-hmm. This investment is a first step, just a down payment,
mm-hmm.
a down payment on addressing those issues, a down payment on rectifying the decades of disinvestment in our communities, a down payment on rectifying those issues, a down payment on building black wealth, on closing the racial, the race wage gap, wealth gap, and addressing all of those years in which we had redlined and disinvested in those communities. I am proud of this moment. I am so proud of my colleagues who stepped up and did not take no for an answer, and that we found the synergy to bring home $430 million, a down payment on addressing decades of racial systemic disinvestment in our communities. It is an honor to do that, and I know that it will make a big difference in black and brown communities all across this Commonwealth. With that being said, because it's hot.
Joanna, come here.
Okay.
Yeah, right over here.
This one will be for you, Governor. Joanna and I, first and foremost, for all of the members who are up here, state, city, staff, we got to thank all of the staff that helped actually write the language, Governor, all right? All of the staff. We're not going to start calling out names because then we get in trouble. And we don't want to get in trouble because we got more work they gotta do. Okay? All right? All right? But on behalf of Joanna and myself, and all of us, Governor, this is your last budget. And Joanna, you can speak to this. We just want to thank you.
Yes.
For 8 years. Eight years of staying the course.
Yes.
All right? 8 years of staying the course. We just want to thank you. All right? We all go to these positions with the intention, the dreams of doing great things, okay? With your leadership, in this area and a whole bunch of others, what we'll talk about in the future, something great is being done. Joe, if you want to add to that.
You said it all.
Okay, thank you very much. Give the governor a round of applause.
All right, let me just thank you very much. But really, I was not in politics before I got this job. So this is my first foray into politics and my last. But it has been a privilege to work with these folks back here. This has been, when we talk about things like this, it is really nice to be part, to be a partner in making things like this happen, because I think Pennsylvanians are in a better place now than they were 8 years ago. And I think that's thanks to all the work we've done. So thank you.
Thank you.
And now they'll be happy to take any questions you might have. Any questions?
What was that number?
Yeah, what was that number? Press better get that right. Anything else? All right, well, thank you very much for being here. This is a big deal. I know the Eagles have a game tonight.
That's right, Senator Castle.
Go Eagles.
He's going. We got him tickets.
This is a big deal. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let him go. Yeah.